top, we realize it's tomorrow down there, but this might still be appropriate.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bob. Happy birthday to you.
Now, all I can say is it may be appropriate, but it's not very musical. Thank you, guys.
Epic, Bob, epic.
At least you know it's from the bottom of our hearts.
And just to let you guys know that I'm not easily swayed and made soft by such shows of sentiment, I want to remind the CDR and the LMP that they're going to start collecting their urine from now on. And you shouldn't have been dumping it since 197.
Okay, we're in the process of changing over.
Okay, and the covers are open on the UV and the IR, so we won't be dumping it anyway right now, tonight, right?
That's right.
And, Jack, you're going to be on the biomed tonight?
Whose side are you on? Of course I am.
Well, I'm hooking up right now. I sort of rested my own personal sensors, and I'm putting the mechanical ones on, electrical ones, I guess.
Okay, I tell you what, if you wait 6 minutes until after LOS to finish that, you'll leave the surgeon in suspense until you come around on AOS. That'll help keep him awake.
Okay, I'll see what I can do one way or the other. Bob?
Go ahead.
Would you say what you said a little while ago about urine dumps?
Okay, as per the checklist, it says at 197 hours, CDR and LMP collect urine and UTSs until 208 hours, so that's till tomorrow morning. And I was just reminding you that we don't want to be hosing it overboard right now because the UV and IR covers are open, and we presume that since you'd already done the wastewater and the H2 purge on the backside, that sufficient time had passed to open them. And I guess we sort of presumed that you weren't in the mode of dumping urine overboard.
Okay, that's fine. I was thinking of the bus collection system. That's fine.
Okay, and America, once you fellows finish your pre-sleep checklist, you're a go for sleep. You're a go for LOS, and we won't be saying anything to you when you come around the front side next time around in case you nod it off. Call us if you want to, and we'll just let it be as is. We're finished with you for the night.
Okay, thank you, Robert. We're hastening to finish the checklist and get to sleep, and unless we have some problems or questions, we won't talk to you until tomorrow.
Okay, talk to you tomorrow night.
Hey, Bob, on the biomed, the LMB, if it doesn't show up to my normal standards, it's because maybe the sensors have come off. I put a little of the bacterial salve on them, and they probably won't stick too well. But I'll do the best I can.
Okay.
Preventive medicine, Bob, not curative.
Okay, that'll make the surgeon happy.
And before we fade out of sight, you might look at the biomed.
Whoops, I got one left.
We're in low bit rate. We can't see you right now.
This is Apollo Control at 198 hours, 45 minutes. We've had loss of signal on this 56th revolution. As you heard from Capcom Bob Parker, we do not intend to put in a call to the crew on the next acquisition, nor does the crew expect to call us. We'll take the line down now and come back up with hourly reports. This is Apollo Control at 199 hours, 52 minutes. America is coming up over the landing site now on its 57th revolution. Crew began a rest period almost an hour ago. We have not talked to them on this revolution. Rest period due to last 8 hours with wake up at 207 hours elapsed time. All systems continuing to function well on America. At 199 hours, 52 minutes, this is Mission Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control at 200 hours, 53 minutes. America behind the moon now. We'll next acquire in about 35 minutes on the 58th revolution. Crew is in a rest period, and at loss of signal on this revolution, all systems were performing well. At 200 hours, 53 minutes, this is Mission Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control at 201 hours, 52 minutes. Apollo 17 in its 58th lunar revolution at this time is over the Taurus Littoral landing site. We are monitoring systems via telemetry, all going well aboard the spacecraft. Crew has 5 hours 37 minutes remaining in this rest period. America's current orbit 65 by 62.5 nautical miles. At 201 hours, 52 minutes, this is Mission Control, Houston. This is Apollo Control at 202 hours, 54 minutes. Apollo 17 is behind the moon on its 58th revolution. All continuing to go well aboard Spacecraft America. Spacecraft systems performing normally. The crew in a rest period. Wake up scheduled 4 hours 35 minutes from this time. Flight Director Pete Frank and the Orange team of flight controllers now handing over mission control duties to the Gold team, which will be led today by Flight Director Neil Hutchinson. There will be no change of shift news conference. Early in this shift, the Lunar Module Challenger was deorbited on time and impacted the moon. Preliminary information indicates that the impact did occur within 15 kilometers of the expected location. However, we were not able to see the impact on television from the rover, which was up at that time. Impact data is still being refined, and more detailed information should be available on that later today. At 202 hours, 56 minutes, this is Mission Control, Houston.
This is Apollo Control at 203 hours, 48 minutes. Revolution number 59 for Apollo 17 spacecraft. Now in lunar orbit with some 3 hours and 41 minutes remaining until the three crewmen are awakened for a rather full day of lunar orbit science activities. Spacecraft currently is in a almost circular lunar orbit, 62.6 nautical miles at Paracynthian by 65.1 nautical miles Apocynthian. Orbital velocity 5,344 feet per second. No apparent systems problems being monitored on the ground aboard the America at this time. sound asleep, according to the surgeon. And at 203.49, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control at 205 hours, 7 minutes, ground elapsed time. Coming up on the front side pass on revolution number 60. Some 18 minutes remaining until spacecraft America reappears on the front side of the moon. 2 hours and 22 minutes remaining until the crew is wakened. America at the present time is in a orbit measuring 65.1 by 62.6 nautical miles. Here in the control center, the flight controllers are, those that aren't busy planning the day's activity, are watching a playback of the rendezvous and docking sequence from the command module television camera, which is being piped to the newsroom at this time on the monitors. And at 205 hours, 7 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control at 205 hours. 47 minutes ground elapsed time. Spacecraft America coming up on the old Taros Letro landing site where the descent stage of the lunar module Challenger rests as a monument to the final mission of the Apollo landing series, lunar landing series. Some 52 minutes remaining until America passes behind the moon during the end of the 60th lunar orbit. Hour and 41 minutes until crew wake time. America presently is in a orbit measuring 62.5 at low point, at which point it is at the moment at Paracentian, and 180 degrees around at the on the rear side of the moon. It will reach Apocynthian some 3 miles higher, 65 nautical. And at 205 hours, 48 minutes, ground elapsed time in the mission of Apollo 17. This is Apollo Control. 17. Coming around in less than a minute on the front side pass in lunar orbit number 61, and approximately 5.5 minutes away from wake up. The wake up music during this mission has ranged from grand opera selections to college war hymn. We'll wait and see what it will be this morning. Spacecraft America in an orbit now measuring 65.3 at Apocynthian by 62.6 nautical miles at Paracynthian. We'll stand by for our first word of acquisition from the network controller. We've had acquisition of signal. Slightly under 4 minutes now until the scheduled wake-up call. Unless they are already awake, we'll bring up the airground one circuit at this time and stand by for spacecraft communicators alarm clock at 207.26 and standing by. This is Apollo Control.
The first time. Good morning, America, from the Gold Team here. Good morning, America. The friendly Gold Team standing by.
You guys have finally learned how to wake somebody up.
Roger.
Good morning, Gold Team. This is the Command Module Pilot of the Spaceship America, and we're ready to go to work again this morning.
Okay, well, you don't have to do much for a while, but eat and get squared away.
Good morning down there. This is the commander of the spaceship, America, and I'm glad to see that the Capcom console is well guarded this morning.
Roger. Yes, indeed. We've got one gate here, and I'm guarding it.
I'm a little disappointed, though. The music was good, but I expected the brain jam or something like that.
Oh, I wouldn't do that to you this early in the morning.
Better now and get it over with.
Neo back there and a whole new team since you went to bed.
Oh, that's right. Very good.
Wake-up music today was Roberta Flack's rendition of The Last Time Ever I Saw Your Face.
Who selected that song? Joe Allen?
No, that's Neil's special. Got Neil Hutchinson to blame on that one. I must say he had a lot of accomplices on that too, so.
Yeah, Bob, I think maybe that's one of the best songs to come out of the last 10 years, if you ask me.
Roger.
I mean, you didn't ask. Hey, Houston, America.
Go ahead.
I think Matt QQ is all gone. Shall I use the RR?
Yeah, hey, Ron, at 208.05 there, we're going to delete that solar corona pass anyway. I've got a flight plan update I'll give you at 208 there, and we're going to delete that solar corona pass, so forget it.
Oh, okay.
guys were wondering, it looks like we finally might see the sun down here in Houston. It is clearing off, except it's extremely cold, and the temperature must be hovering right in the low 40s, maybe even the high 30s or even lower.
Well, my goodness. I should have been watching the weather for you, Bob. We'll come and warm things up for you for long.
Roger. America Houston. We've got the flight plan update and a pan camera photo pad for the flight plan. Okay, the only thing we want to tell you is don't do the solar corona, and we've already told you that. We'll get back with you later on that. If you want, I'll read you the morning news.
Hey, okay, go ahead.
Okay, there's been a temporary halt to the peace talks in Paris, and as we've mentioned before, Henry Kissinger is in Washington and has conferred with President Nixon. A ceasefire proposal suggested by South Vietnamese government officials has been rejected by the U.S. White House new Secretary Ron Ziegler has declined to characterize the present Paris peace efforts, but did say there are still some obstacles to overcome. And we had another hijack attempt. A youthful Canadian who hijacked an airliner in northern Canada was talked out of his escapade by his father. The youth had held 62 persons aboard the plane for a short while, then retained only 4 hostages for 10 hours. It appears that the United Mine Workers may have a new president. Maverick candidate Arnold Miller retains a strong lead over Tony Boyle in the government-supervised election. The transatlantic airfare price war that seems imminent promises to be a real boon to the vacationer. It's now estimated that airfare may be as low as $136 for the transatlantic fare in some special categories. Juan Perón has ended his month-long visit to Argentina. An attempt was made to nominate him for the presidential election while he was there, but the move was declared illegal and he returned to Paraguay. A few other news highlights. The village of Ronda, Switzerland is threatened by a 500,000-ton portion of a glacier moving down a mountain. Willy Brandt has been sworn in as Chancellor of West Germany for his second term. Former President Truman remains seriously ill. Chicago Mayor Daley has made an effort to halt further commercial development along Chicago's Lake Michigan waterfront. Comedian Bob Hope is set again for his annual tour of U.S. overseas military bases. His first Christmas show in the Far East is December 21st. Now in the local news here, there's a good chance that Texans may soon legally put a bet down on a horse race. A state Senate study committee has heard some heavy opposition to parimutuel betting in Austin, but the proposal appears to have a good chance of approval. And if you follow the Tomball police force, who quit en masse a couple days ago, Tomball has rehired 3 of the officers who quit, and 2 more of the police who walked out are seeking to be rehired. And just a note here, we're a little beautification of Houston. Some of the thousands of billboards that line main highways around Houston will be coming down after the first of the year. All signs must be licensed by the state and a fee paid after that time. Some of the sports news. Johnny Bench, the Cincinnati Reds catcher who had a benign spot removed from a lung Monday, is recovering nicely at Christ Hospital in Cincinnati. The star baseball player will remain hospitalized for about 5 more days. Brad Van Pelt, the Michigan State University defensive star, won the Maxwell Club Trophy as the year's top college football player. The Washington Redskins' Larry Brown took top honors as the top professional player of the year. Southern Methodist has apparently chosen a new football coach to succeed Hayden Fry, but university officials say an announcement won't come until next week. Mark Spitz and Shane Gould, both top Olympic swimmers, were honored as the top athletes in the world by European sports writers for this past year, of course. There was no action last night in college basketball. The University of Houston is getting ready to play California tomorrow night. Joe Paterno, Penn State coach, has won the Walter Camp Football Foundation Award as Coach of the Year. And it appears that Mike Tilleman of the Oilers may play out his option this year, and this coach, Bill Peterson, says it upsets his draft plans this coming year. And I've already updated the weather to you. I just might add a little parenthetical thought that there's really not that much in the news, and all the news around here anyway has been Apollo 17 and your liftoff. We picked up the liftoff last night from the moon and carried it live TV for about 2.5 minutes as you went out of sight like a star. And then, of course, live TV picked up your docking and rendezvous and docking. A very spectacular picture, I might add, of the lunar surface as the Challenger came up to meet America. Over.
Very good news summary, Bob. Thank you. I didn't realize Top Ball had 5 policemen.
America, Houston. America, this is Houston.
Go ahead.
Hey, you can probably tell by the comments, this is Jerry. This is, the gold team's been handed over to the able hands of Neil before things go too far. I'll be, around watching for the rest of the flight, of course, but, before things got too far, I wanted to pass my comments on to you guys that, boy, it's really been super. You guys have, between the performance of you guys and the performance of the hardware, it's been a piece of cake down here. I hope it's seen that same way up there. And we're really looking forward to finishing this thing up and getting you on back home. And my hat's off to you.
Okay, Jerry, appreciate those words. But any performance of ours, and certainly none of the hardware, has to go along with the performance of you guys down there. Because, you know, you're the guys that make it happen, and we do appreciate it. And I guess this is sort of a semi-retirement for you, then. Is that right?
Well, I don't know whether to call it semi-retirement. It's a relaxed feeling, I'll tell you that. But I'm anxious to do it again, and hope I get a chance to do something more like this.
You bet you were all going to keep doing it. And listen, you couldn't have left it in a more able set of hands and Neil's down there. We'll have to celebrate your 3-day or 4-day rest period when we get back.
Raj, talk to you later.
I didn't realize we wore you out.
I will throw in one thing right quick. You know, the activation descent day, that was the third one I had handled, and including all the simulations and all the three of the actual flights, I think it's the first time we can say that we really did it all right. For one reason or another, it really turned out to be a fairly easy day, and I was really surprised.
Well, Jerry, that spacecraft we were working with was undoubtedly the best vehicle, along with America, that I've ever flown.
Okay, well, I'll be talking to you later.
Still ready, babe.
Jerry, this is Jack. Thanks a lot, boy.
You bet.
Hey, Houston, America, would you like us to start charging battery Bravo?
That's affirmative. If you're there, we'd like it.
I'm here. Drops
on each side prior to going to sleep. And five cans of fluid. Okay, for the camp commander's menu, Medigan day 10. That was day 9 yesterday, wasn't it?
Ron, excuse us, would you have somebody turn the pan camera powered off, please?
Mark it, it's off.
Roger, we'd like the IR cover closed and the UV cover closed at this time.
Houston America, you all set? Copy.
Yeah, we're ready to copy, Ron.
Hello, Houston 90, Read America.
Read you, I'm clear, we're ready to copy.
Oh, okay. Okay, we're ready to copy. Okay, here we go. For the commanders, day 9, Bureau Charlie, meatballs, butterscotch pudding, beef and gravy, orange pineapple juice, citrus juice, chicken stew, apricots, and gingerbread. Okay, his medical log. He had 7 hours of very good sleep. No medication, and drank lots of fluids, but nothing was logged on that part of it. And his PRD is also in his soup, down at the bottom of the soup bag. So we'll have to get it out here shortly.
Roger, copy.
Bob, in lieu of the solar corona photography, I watched, Gene and I both watched it set, and there are two bands, which I still can see now as zodiacal light, I guess, going out symmetrically on either side of the plane of the ecliptic, and they make an angle between themselves of about, let's say, 70 to 80 degrees. I can still, knowing they're there, I can still pick up the bands. Streamers, I guess would be a better word. And last night, when I watched one set, there was a strong linear streamer going out, though, maybe three or four or five diameters. I have to get my direction straight. I'll figure out which side of the ecliptic it was. that was not nearly so strong when I looked this time. Now, partly that may be dark adaptation, I don't know, but I'll try to keep track of that one. But these two streamers today are about of equal strength, and they're still visible as zodiacal light.
Okay, Jack, break. We'd like the high gain to auto, and we'd like to get on with this flight plan update, please.
Okay, you got auto.
Okay, and this is a real-time flight plan change, but it's real-time right here. Right now, if you'll go mapping camera cover open and mapping camera extend and give us a mark, we'll time the extend time on it, please.
Okay, the mapping camera cover. Ready?
I'd like to go back to REAC on high gain.
Okay, we're in REAC. Whatever track. Oh, I need it. Wait a minute.
No.
Oh. Okay. No, no, I... Okay, Bob, mapping camera is going open. Mark. And it's great. And you want to extend the mapping camera, huh?
Auto on the high gain, first of all.
Okay. That's what they said. They want to... Okay, going to auto again.
Okay,
Houston, America, you say you're going to extend the mapping camera now?
That's affirmative. We're extending it early because we want to time it, and extend it now, please, and give us a mark when you start it.
Okay, mark it.
Okay, and might as well finish up the flight plan updates if you don't mind. The next one is at 20901.
Okay, go ahead, 20901.
You're going to delete the mapping camera laser altimeter cover open and mapping camera extend at that position because you've just done it. Just scratch them out.
Mapping camera open. Okay, Bob, I got that.
Okay, and at 20903, add after pan camera power, add V over H override, high altitude.
Okay, I got that. V over H high alt at 20903.
That's affirmative. And
hey, Houston, America.
Go ahead, Ron.
Okay, let me interrupt you a minute, Bob. Can we go ahead and dump with the mapping camera extended?
That's affirmative, Ron.
Okay, mighty fine, thank you.
Okay, we just show a full extend. At 20940, Jack, in the flight plan where it says liftoff time update is not required. At 20940, we will not do a liftoff time update.
You're not going to do a liftoff time update, huh?
That's affirmative. And I've got a pan camera pad while you're on that page. The pan camera pad, which is opposite 20915.
Pan camera photo pad. Go ahead.
Okay, T-start, 209er 1444. T-stop, 209er 27236. And that covers all of it. We settle back to the flight plan now.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay, sir, and if you'll give us accept, we've got a state vector at this time for you.
Okay, you have it.
Ron, you may be interested, we had a nominal extend on the mapper.
Hey, great. I guess once the door stays out of the way, it'll come out all right, huh?
Right. America, Houston.
Go ahead.
Okay, Ron, just for you, first of all, the computer is yours. You can go back to block. Just for your information, at the beginning of the next rev, we're going to have a flight plan update, or actually we'll have a pan camera pad at the beginning of the rev, and then into the rev after the orbital science visuals, we'll have a flight plan update. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be doing an extra ultraviolet scan program, and we're going to do some antenna calibration on the HF and lunar sounder antenna. So we got quite a lengthy flight plan update, and after that it'll be just flying the flight plan. The thing with the lunar sounder is that we're getting a lot of noise from Earth that we don't see on the backside of the moon in the HF, and we'd like to calibrate this out.
Okay, do you want to give us those updates now, or are you going to wait?
Negative. We'll wait until next rev. They're not that extensive. We just have a number of them, though. Just wanted you to be aware that they'll be coming up. They will not interrupt your orbital science visual targets there at Mare Smithy or at the landing site visual.
Okay.
America Houston. You're about 2 minutes from LOS here. We've got two items. The America is looking great, and as you go around the horn, there's no problems open on it. We would like the LMP, Jack, if you would push on your EKG sensors a little bit. The data isn't too good for the EKG sensors. And on your H2 tank configuration, Ron, we'd like you to take H2 tank 3 fans to off and H2 tank 2 fans to on.
Okay, tank 3 is off, number 2 is on.
Roger.
Okay, Bob, first break I have, I'll have to change those sensors. I needed to put that SAM on, and I guess that's probably the same problem as on the way out.
Roger, don't change them, Jack. The CMP is due to come on before too long, so just press on them and see if we can improve the data a little bit, but don't change them out. And you're looking great, and we'll pick you up again at 209.23.
Maybe that ratty data is me.
No, it's not that way.
Signal as the spacecraft America passed behind the moon, nearing the end of the 61st lunar orbit. Some 48 minutes until the spacecraft comes around again on Revolution 62. During that front side pass, the crew was wakened rather pleasantly by a recording uplinked to them by Roberta Flack of "The Last Time Ever I Saw Your Face." And after they had sufficiently wakened, the flight plan updates for the day's activity were read up to the crew by spacecraft communicator Bob Overmeyer. Current orbit, 65 nautical miles by 62.5 at Paracentian. And at 208.40, this is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control at 209 hours, 22 minutes, ground elapsed time. Apollo 17 spacecraft America, coasting around at this time on the start of lunar orbit number 62, about 40 seconds away from acquisition by the ground station antennas. Still in a 62 by 65 nautical mile orbit. Waiting confirmation as the spacecraft comes around the corner that we have indeed picked up the downlink voice and data signal at the tracking station. Let's stand by for the initial conversations.
Romney D. Somehow we got off attitude there. But.
Okay, Ron, understand you're on Omni D. You're coming up on just 30 seconds away from pan camera T stop time, and I have another pan camera pad I'd like to give you before we get into the orb science visual.
Okay. You look at the pad. Up. 27, 36. 37, 36, Jack.
Go ahead, Bob, on the pad.
Okay, the pan camera photo pad is at 209.45. Are you ready for that one?
Like REAC on the high gain until we call auto, please.
REAC and narrow, okay.
Ron, we're standing by.
Okay, okay, Houston on the the craters to the north of the Wright brothers. The slope of the walls is steep, probably 45 degrees on the inside. It's a gradual slope on the outside, sloping away from the crater. There is no apparent albedo differences in the ejecta or a pattern annulus around the crater itself. And I'm looking specifically at the one to the northwest of the Wright brothers now. There's a definite Mare flow that is unindated, and it's a different color. You know that you have a light albedo to it now. It's kind of a grayish tan. It's a light grayish tan material that is flown, and I can't tell. It almost looks like it's flown down into the crater. There's an impact crater right at the breach of the crater. Which has nothing to do with the flow itself. The material in the yeah, I'm almost outside of it already. I was gonna say the material in the inner crater and these moldering structures down there. The material all the way in the center of it is comparable to the hummocky, bumpy looking type stuff that is not really the mare not the smooth mare of Smithy, but the other part of the mare of Smithy.
Are there any difference between the craters, Ron?
Yeah, some of the craters, of course, though, you can't see the moldering structures on it. And some of them are definitely impact craters. You know, that have the ejector rigs around them. I've got to study it a little bit more. This is really the first chance I've had to look at Smithy. Was this on this path. But, I want to take a look at them a little bit more. Some of the molder ring faces there, the walls are not delta shaped at all. The one to the north and let's see, as you look at the Wright brothers, there's one directly north and then the next one and then the next one. One directly north will say it's 12 o'clock, the other one is 1 o'clock and then a 2 o'clock crater. The 1 o'clock crater, it looks to me like there's a high lava mark around the outer basin, the outer ring of the crater itself. The one at 12 o'clock is the one I was talking about, has the breach on it with the later impact, small impact crater on it. And without the binocs, I couldn't tell flow direction, whether we were flowing into the molder ring basin from that mare patch on the outside or vice versa. So I'm going to try to check that out the next time around.
Okay, Ron, we're standing by for any comments along your ground track here, and we're following you. We would like to, when you get up on the landing site, we'd like you to concentrate on Stony and F crater for those textual differences we noticed the other day.
Okay. Shorty, I think, right? I called it Stony the other day, too, I think. But
yeah, Shorty, I'm sorry. And we
the one out on the landslide.
Right, we'd like you to mark the breach that you see on the photo, please. Or on the map.
Okay, that's the breach on the... And Mari Smithy.
Firm, that's a firm run. And Ron, if you'll ask either Gene or Jack or somebody get the pen camera to mono now, please.
Okay, pad camera's going to mono.
10 round. We're still standing by for any calls you might want to make en route to the landing site.
Okay. You can speak of text or color differences on the thing. And the sun angle now, looking west, you get the same streak at the vertical streaks that I talked about before that you see on the backside at the high sun, higher sun angles again. And that seems to show up more and more, I think, at the higher sun angles. And these are what I call radial streaks down in the fresh craters that essentially start at the top of the crater rim and go down inside it. If you take a look at these streaks, I don't see how they could be due strictly to sun angle on the thing, because they're all the way around the crater.
Roger, do you have a particular crater in mind along the
now,
side?
Yeah, and they went. Yeah, I'm trying to find the name of it right now. It doesn't make any difference which one it is. It's in all the craters, all of the valleys, and everything. It looks like the sculpture deals around the landing site.
That's what we understand there. Coming up on Apollonius, that area now. Is that correct? At Fertility and the highlands right there in between. Is there any difference between these two contact points?
Yeah, the highlands look essentially the same as you pass from Chrisium on across to Fertility. And again, they look much like the sculpted hills. Is ridiculous, huh? All the high sun angle again. You've got the streaks in the highs, and
there are masses of highland though on the border of Chrisium here though. That although they look like the sculptured hills, the sculpturing seems to be radially upslope and then downslope from the center of Chrisium, just in small local areas of the highland.
Right, Roger. Do you see any radial
trauma-like
lineaments?
Yeah,
no, but what I'm referring to is on the highlands bordering Chrisium, and not all of them. You just see a definite radial pattern, upslope and downslope, from the center of Chrisium, but none of the ligaments you're talking about, like from a...
Roger, we copy.
Kind of film, I got the wrong film in the mag. Right, let's see, there's Yerkes, and then on the side of the slope, Comerica's, and then there's about a 50-kilometer crater, and then there's a subdued crater. And right on the western rim of Crisium, the western edge of that subdued crater, it's almost a 70-degree slope down there, and it's a square, straight slope on the thing. There doesn't seem to be any ejecta piled up on the bottom of it at all, but within the slope, and it must be 50 kilometers long, and there's a bright impact crater on the top of the hill, top of the rim. Right below that bright crater, you have the tannish-brown streak that goes through the whole slide. The rest of the slope itself is the bright light, real light tan, I call it. I'll find the name of that crater on the map in a minute.
I think the circumference of that crater right there ceases to be round. It just is squared off with a linear break about, at least 20% of the circumference of the entire crater.
Okay, are you talking about a crater on the Mare of Crisium, or are you talking about up near Proclus P in that area?
Yeah, it's right. No, it's right on the Mare.
Okay, we got it.
Subdued crater right on the Mare of Crisium, just below Yerkes. Check where's the film? Oscar. Window 3 is good. Atlantic side is going to be at window 3. Let's see, about F. F8 and 250 in here.
Very shortly, you should be coming up on the Mare prior to the landing site, across Tranquilitatis and then into the landing site. Is that
a firm? Yeah, that's a firm. We're just, I got Proclus out the window number 3 now. Yeah, the landing site really shows up even from this distance right now. Right over Proclus, and looking off across down through the hills there, you have that definite dark, and now the albedo or the color texture is the thing that to me is turning more of a gray than a tan gray. In the early parts of it, I thought it was a dark grays tan, I guess, or something like that. Now it looks to me like it's more tan. I mean, more gray.
Are you
it has essentially the same. Not yet.
Yeah, this gene I've got it on, and the streak albedo change difference is very definite. One is the dark mantle on the floor, one is the south and north masseuse, and the other is the sculptured hills, and the sculptured hills are at a light gray albedo between the massif and the dark mantle. The slide is very evident, and there's a definite break in slope that you can see between the south massif and the, that's what we'll call it the slide, but the white mantle that's out on the valley floor. And from here, Shorty stands out like a sore thumb.
Okay, we're interested in all three of you on that color texture difference up in Shorty, and then we'd like to have a comparison of Shorty to F crater if it's possible.
Okay, F craters are harder than a son of a buck to find. That crater's right on Family Mountain. And there's one to the north of Family Mountain a little ways. It's a darker crater, and then there's also one to the south of it. But I can't find one on Family Mountain at all. I couldn't do the other day, so I'm going to see if I can find it today.
Bob, to me, the sculptured hills incorporate the albedo both of the North Massif, or the Massif, and the mantle area, and combine them to give you a generally in-between gray albedo, but the sculpture is produced by the darker albedo that looks like the mantle and the lighter albedo that looks like the Massif.
Roger, and for Ron, the F crater is just to the south of Family Mountain. It's the one that you mentioned, south of Family Mountain.
Oh, okay. That's the one I saw the other day. It looked about like Shorty.
Is there a cone?
From here, Bob, they're both very dark.
Is there a cone?
Have to check that just a second.
Okay, and we're about 30 seconds from
the
start
time
on the pan camera, please.
Yes. There is a definite bright spot up on the side of the hill. It's almost the extension of that slide area from Shorty.
Okay, guys, we're about 10 seconds from it. T-start time on the hand camera.
Okay, Jack's getting the T-start. Okay, I still get a...
Mark T-start time.
Ron.
Go ahead, Ron.
Okay. On Shorty, I still have the light orangish tan type material. It's essentially perpendicular to the line of the slide area there and the northern semicircle of the thing. I see... F crater. Boy, I can't hold these crazy glasses going on.
Okay, let me read you some questions about F crater, if you will. If you'll direct your attention to F crater, I'd like to know the shape of the crater profile, the rim crest and probable or possible breaching, smoothness and distribution of rim deposits, and the superposition relationship with Family Mountain or Family Hill.
Okay, got all of those. It is a, like, oh, there is a raised rim to it. It's a light color down inside the crater, though. And I can't hold the glasses close enough to see if it's breached or not.
Bob, I can't see it anymore, but let me add to it what I can remember real quick. The inside is white.
Yeah.
The outside is rimmed with a, such as if the rim itself were just dark, very dark. There's some white to the south, about a crater diameter, sort of a small distribution radially to the south. And then there is a sort of a, what I would call a three-patterned dark-like ray, about two crater diameters, maybe three crater diameters, to the south, just slightly to the west of this light area I was talking about, but to the south, another definite one to the west, and another definite one to the north, but none to the east.
So pass pan camera, T-stop time, guys. Jack, pan camera, standby, please. Go on, Gene, sorry to interrupt.
He's got it.
Go ahead with your description.
Now I'm going to draw a picture here while I'm thinking of it.
Okay, good show. Okay, guys, that completed the Orbital Science Visual Pass. Any other comments you want to make about the landing site?
it's an interesting place.
No, not that. From a geological standpoint, from orbit.
Well, my white spot there is still in the same spot. There are two white spots I'm talking about now. The one I'm talking about primarily is the one I saw right after landing on the thing, was the lighter crash area that was evidently blown up from the